Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, why doesn't Tom Brady get the same amount of love as Drew Brees? Plus, actor and comedian David Alan Greer is on set for a must-see interview. And should LeBron James be anointing Lonzo Ball the young king? Skip Shannon. Let's get to it.
Drew Brees made history last night, passing Peyton Manning as the NFL's all-time passing yards leader. He set the record with a 62-yard touchdown pass in the second quarter. Brees is still one touchdown pass short of joining the 500 club, and Tom Brady became the third member of that club last week. Let's take a listen to what Troy Aikman had to say about Brady during that Thursday night game.
Tom Brady, clearly a great player. But he's probably one of the most accommodating superstars that I've ever, you know, dealt with. And I'm sure most of the media, if not all of the media, would agree with that. That he just always, whenever you're around him, he just seems to really be enjoying what he's doing, just like he said. And he's been a great ambassador to our game.
We are joined by Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings. But first, Shannon, let's talk about those two all-time great QBs. Mm-hmm. Why isn't Tom as beloved as Drew Brees?
I think people look at Drew and they see him as a normal size, a 6-foot guy, 205 pounds, and he looks like the guy next door that will go down and have a beer with you at the local pub. Mm-hmm. At the local bar, that's what Drew Brees seems like. And Brees, he like an underdog. He went to Purdue, which is a Big Ten school, a D1 school, but it's not a football factory.
Yep.
Tom Brady went to Michigan, football factory. There have been some of the all-time greats that come out and Rod Woodson came from Purdue. Mm-hmm. Brees' actions during Hurricane Katrina endeared him into a city, and it gave people, not only in New Orleans and Louisiana, but it gave people on the outside a different glimpse into him, because I don't know if we've seen a guy embrace a situation. I don't know if we've ever had a situation like Katrina, Skip, mm-hmm. especially that happened right during football season. So he was there. He was in the community, and he was embraced. He was beloved. He was endeared mm-hmm. by that community. He's a great family man. You saw his family on the side. Mm-hmm. He's a great representative of the NFL. Mm-hmm. Even though Tom Brady, Skip, and the thing was, Drew Brees was drafted higher than Tom Brady. Drew Brees was the first pick in the second round. Tom Brady was a 192nd pick in the sixth round. But they don't view Tom Brady as an underdog. Mm-mm. The underdog doesn't marry the world's most famous supermodel. Mm-hmm. So now Drew Brees, they look at Drew Brees like, hey, see, Drew, man, like, he got a wife that I could actually have. They look at Tom Brady as this guy that's, I can't be in GQ, on the cover of GQ. I can't marry a supermodel. I can't travel the world. And Drew just seems like an ordinary guy.
Yeah.
And that's, people relate to ordinary. Mm-hmm. People like guys that, you know what? That guy just like me. Mm-hmm. He talked like I talk. He looked like his wife looked like mine. How many people looking like, yeah, I see Giselle. I see a little Giselle in you. Mm. I'm sorry, but that's how people perceive things. Mm. They want to know that you like me. You talk like me. That's why when someone comes in your house and someone, you know, they look in your refrigerator, man, that joker eat just like I do. Look at it, he got medicine in his cabinet. He got some of the same things I got. It's normal. They don't view Tom Brady, even though he probably is as normal as he can be, they don't view him like that. They view Drew Brees as a normal guy, everyday guy, that would probably live next door to me. Mm-hmm. And they don't view Tom like that. So they view Drew like, we love Drew. Not to say they don't, because I'm sure Tom is beloved in New England, Skip. Mm-hmm. They love him. But outside, after what he went through with Katrina,
yep.
I think that explains why some people love Tom outside, love Drew outside mm-hmm. of New Orleans a little bit more than they love Tom.
Okay.
I agree with all of that. I think more so, too, when you look at his situation, Drew Brees' situation, coming from the San Diego Chargers, he had the labrum mm-hmm. surgery. Teams weren't jumping at Drew Brees. New Orleans was one of those teams to take a chance. The Dolphins were
interested,
but New Orleans gave him a chance. So they embraced him. They welcomed him into mm-hmm. their family. Katrina has happened. He comes in there as if he was born into this mm-hmm. family already, not brought in. And he embraces a city, and the city then in return embraces him. So what does he do? He takes that and he runs with it. He stays loyal to the New Orleans Saints his entire career then after. But when I look at what he did for them on the football field, it wasn't so much all that he did off the field, because he was unbelievable off the field, embracing the city and the people of New Orleans and doing everything that he possibly could to help and assist. But he gave them something to root for, something to be excited about again. They ended up going 10-6 in 2006, going to the NFC Championship game during all this devastation. Yeah. But because of what the New Orleans Saints were able to do, and he resuscitated and revived the organization that meant nothing. They weren't even contenders, nowhere around. And people will try to mention Bounty Gate. It doesn't affect Drew Brees because he didn't play defense. He didn't play defense. But then and you mentioned him being a normal guy. He has the commercials where, you know, the guy knocks on his door, doesn't even recognize who, or he knocks on the guy's door, he doesn't even recognize who he is. Yeah. He goes to the next guy, Drew Brees. Yeah. Normal guy. Tom Brady. You look at him and it's like he is
6'4", statuesque.
He's one of those guys that he is beloved as a football player, but outside of that, he's kind of not understood. We don't really know. Mm. We're just now starting to be opened into – he's just now starting to open up to show everybody who he really is. And it's phenomenal. It's great. But he has these stains attached. Whether he did the Deflategate or not, I'm not – I would never put anything on anyone.
Spygate,
all these things that are attached and that you can associate Tom Brady with, mm-hmm. no one likes somebody that they think cheated. Mm. It's like –
Do you think he cheated?
I don't know. I really don't care. I don't think he would have cheated this late in his career with all of that I've seen of Tom Brady. No, I don't think that he needs to. Mm. Like, why?
Mm. But he was the biggest beneficiary of Spygate. That's undeniable. He's the biggest beneficiary.
Okay.
And so when I look at Drew Brees and Tom Brady, you compare the two. You listen to what Peyton Manning said. You listen to what Brett Favre tweeted out. It's an honor to be passed by a guy like you.
A guy that
did it the right way. These two guys, they have relationship with Tom. They respect Tom. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't said because of...
By the way, last Thursday night, Tom beat Drew to 500 touchdown passes. Did he get this kind of adulation and adoration?
No.
Good point.
Did the tweets pour out all over everywhere for Tom Brady?
They did not.
Nope. Hmm. Not as beloved as Drew Brees.
Now you go talk about where was your tweet, LeBron James? Yeah.
Where was LeBron's tweet?
He probably tweeted.
Huh?
He tweeted. You missed it.
I think the world missed it because I don't think he tweeted. And by the way, I got to defend Mrs. Brees because she's not unattractive.
No,
it's not like you
she's
just,
not a super... She's, a super, well,
I,
super
they're, I know she's not a supermodel, right. But she looks... Pretty good to me. Am I right, Jim?
I agree.
Okay.
But I think I understand what you mean. Okay. Giselle is in a league of her own that unfortunately none of us will ever be in. We can all dream.
My home, great home team. You got a home team.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Giselle.
This is beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Uh-huh. I've never thought she was that great.
What?
That's just not.
Whoa,
that's just me.
Whoa,
I don't think she's great.
I'm with
serious.
You,
every time I see her, I say, what?
Giselle?
She's a supermodel?
Yeah.
No, beauty I'm serious. That's from the heart. I just don't get it. No offense
Skip.
To Giselle.
Yeah, well, they're going to take it fair with Tom Brady. He done with you.
Okay, good. After all I've done for him?
No, I'm about to do for him
right here, right now. So, by the way, speaking of ordinary, looking ordinary, who looked ordinary in their combine 40? How ordinary did that look to you, Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
That didn't even look ordinary. That just looked ugly, right?
Yes.
Did you see Tom Brady without a shirt on at the combine?
Yes.
Did that look ordinary? It looked sub-ordinary, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was embarrassing.
But you see how he dresses now.
Okay.
And you see how Drew shows up to the game. You see how Drew shows up to the game in Cabela's.
Nice. Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah, he shows up in Cabela's and Tom Brady's in Tom Ford.
Yeah.
Come on, Skip.
Okay, so I said this last Friday, and I'm going to say it again. I want to thank Troy Aikman for having the guts to say what we just heard him say, because that was out there, because a lot of the media members will disagree with that. But he said, hey, he's always in a good mood. He's always accessible for us, and he gives us all that he can give us, and he's fun to deal with, and in the end, he's a great ambassador for our game. Well, he is. You can't take that away from him, right? Mm-hmm. So I step back from this, and I say, is Drew Brees a better father than Tom Brady? Well, I don't know how to know that or measure it exactly, but I doubt it. I doubt he is, right? Is Drew Brees more beloved by his teammates than Tom Brady is? I don't think so. I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. Has Drew done more for his community, especially during the Katrina days? Absolutely so. I will give you
that.
That's
not to say Tom hasn't. Maybe Tom is more behind the scenes.
I don't know.
Drew is just more out there. Because I don't want to say he might be donating millions to a cause we don't know about.
We can never know about that.
And if he is, I would appreciate that even more, that he doesn't make a big deal out of it.
True.
Okay? So, in the end, is Drew Brees a better quarterback than Tom Brady? He's just not. And I'm going to say it again. Tom Brady is the clutchest quarterback in the history of not only the Super Bowl, but to me, he's the clutchest player in the history of sports beyond Michael Jordan, just because he has had so many more chances than Michael had. So many fourth quarters with game on the line, he has delivered again and again and again. And one of them got canceled by the luckiest pass in the history of football. But in that Super Bowl against Eli, Tom Brady threw a touchdown pass with 2 minutes left that should have won the game or could have won the game. So that's five times he did that. And then we saw him against Jacksonville in the fourth quarter last year, and he threw for 505 in a loss in the Super Bowl, the most yards ever in a playoff game. But he doesn't get the adoration for this, even though, to me, he's a really good guy. But what's it boil down to? Jealousy, resentment, and suspicion. Mm-hmm. And suspicion. Yeah. Did he cheat or didn't he?
Of course.
Did he benefit from Belichick's Spygate? Yes.
But Skip, where you and I part ways, it's just hard for me to believe that Drew Brees played for Coach Belichick in that system, had Aaron Rodgers played for Coach Belichick, Peyton Manning, that they wouldn't have comparable success as Tom Brady has. It's just hard for me to believe that.
See, I don't mind that, because everyone talks about, oh, it's the system. Yeah, it is. It's everyone is better
with the system,
that's around them is better. Like, period. We are at Fox because it fits us better.
Right.
Like the family feel.
Right. Wait a second. Right now, somewhere Tom Brady is just gnashing his teeth at what you just said and said, do you realize what I would have done if I'd had Sean Payton as my business partner for 13 years? Because Belichick has not been Tom Brady's business partner.
Well,
they have clashed. Tom has to overcome Bill Belichick, because as you said earlier in the show, Bill's going to do it his way.
Yes.
If it's time to run the ball tonight, we're going to run it down their throats. What would Tom Brady have done with Sean Payton?
He'd have better numbers. Okay. I don't know if he's had as many Super Bowls.
I don't know.
I mean, that we will never know.
Okay. And I think Drew Brees is clutch, but nobody's as clutch as this guy. So you can't undercut
that. It's hard to say if Drew Brees isn't as clutch, because Drew has never been in those situations as many times. But if you look at the situations that he has a lot of comfort behind
injury.
He does.
No,
but then you
really
can
good.
Say he's not as clutch because he has not been in those situations, because he has not put his team in those situations. Not saying that it's just Drew Brees, but when we look at Tom Brady and what he's been able to do, you can say Coach Belichick, but Tom has to perform on the field.
Yeah.
And so I think it's one of those, when you have a guy who is on top, people love to hate the person that is on top of the mountain, period,
LeBron.
Point blank. You can admire what they do, but you're a little envious of where they are and what they've accomplished.
So
and
maybe
what they
it helped Drew Brees that he only has one Super Bowl, because he got validated. He's a made man.
But he plays in the era. Think about the era that he played in. Peyton and Brady. Now, they got 8 MVPs. They got 9. No, they got 12 Super Bowl appearances. That's smack dab in the heart of when Drew Brees is playing.
Okay.
And it's hard. He's only been first-team All-Pro once. Mm-hmm. Well, Manning has been first-team All-Pro about 12 times. Brady, I think, 3 times. It's just hard to overcome that. Mm-hmm. And then you get Aaron Rodgers come out here throwing up these ridiculous numbers with 122 quarterback rating, going 45-6.
No, I agree.
Yeah, but regardless of all of that, I just think Drew Brees is just the most beloved quarterback in the NFL.
He is.
Today. Yeah. Like, I'll forget just Tom Brady, across the board. Aaron Rodgers, Andrew, all these Ben Roethlisberger. It's because of who he is and how they feel about him in that community. And I don't care about what everybody else is doing in their community. Drew Brees, because of the devastation The timing.
I agree.
You can never top that.
Okay.
And he had a place in San Diego, Skip. He relocated to New Orleans.
His entire family.
There are not very many people, Skip, leaving San Diego to go to Louisiana.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Tom Brady grew up in the Bay Area, but he lives up near Foxborough.
He in Brookline. He in that old exclusive country club. See, that ain't none of my business. Well, that ain't none of my business, Jenny.
Do you know the weather up there?
Yeah.
Ain't great.
Yeah, but... Oh, he's in Qatar. Mm. You remember he was in Qatar.
Oh,
LeBron
was in Italy.
No, we talk about Tom Brady. Don't bring LeBron in this. This is not a LeBron topic. Stop we did it. That one earlier.
No, yeah. We didn't. Yeah.
Drew Brees. I mean, plus Drew Brees do Jimmy John's. See, he don't do no Uggs. He ain't got no Aston Martin commercial. He do stuff like everybody eats subs. You go to Jimmy and they bring it to you on the bike, paddling real fast. Bring you. Who gonna get a 1 of 12 edition Aston Martin for 400 bands?
You ever heard one teammate of Brady say one bad thing about him?
I ain't heard him say nothing about Drew either. Oh. And love Drew Brees. Yeah. I love Tom. Mm. Tom, look, why would I like Tom? Tom dread like your boy. No mercy.
Support for Undisputed comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Let's talk about buying a home. It can be one of the most important purchases you'll ever make. But today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher payments, which can turn a great experience into an anxious one. That's why Quicken Loans created their exclusive power buying process. Here's how it works. They check your income, assets, and credit to give you a verified approval. This gives you the strength of a cash buyer, making your offer more attractive to sellers. Once verified, you qualify for their exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock your interest rate for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. Then, once you've found the one, if rates have gone up, your rate stays the same. But if rates have gone down, you get to keep that new lower rate. Either way, you win. It's the kind of thinking you'd expect from America's largest mortgage lender. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/undisputed. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply. Based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. No
mercy. Dak Prescott threw two interceptions in Sunday night's loss to the Texans. Allen Hurns caught the only TD pass from Dak, but even he was critical of the lack of production on offense, saying, quote, "The plays are there. I feel like for the majority of the snaps, we're creating separation. If I'm not open, Cole Beasley is open." Beasley made similar comments a couple of weeks ago, saying, quote, "We're getting open." And Troy Aikman said this about Dak. He needs to be more accurate with the football. It doesn't matter how tough you are. It doesn't matter how smart you are or what a great leader you are. None of that stuff matters if you can't put the ball where you have to put it. I've seen too many errant throws. I don't see great anticipation on what a defense is doing. Whew. Greg Jennings still with us. But first, Shannon, after hearing all of that, what's going on?
Oh, Shannon, though, I ain't done playing quarterback. Now, you just commended Troy Aikman for saying about Tom Brady and how accessible he is, and he comes in with a great attitude. It's going to be very interesting to hear what you say about have to say about
want
Troy.
Want me to go now?
No, I don't want you to go. It's my turn. All Troy did was give me validation.
Of what?
Of what I've been saying for
the
longest.
He's a bust?
See, there you go.
Well, no, I'm not going anywhere. That's where you go.
Is that what Troy said?
Huh.
And Troy
interesting.
Said, Troy, the receiver said, "I'm tired of y'all throwing us under the bus and then driving the bus over us. We're open, but somebody," Troy says, "I've seen far too many errant throws." These receivers, Cole Beasley, you're like, "Oh, that's little measly Beasley." Now we get another receiver that's in that locker room, that's in practice, that's in everything, that's actually in the game. And said, "Hold on, wait a minute now. While y'all keep talking about QBR, while you keep talking about he had the best rookie season any quarterback's ever had."
Ever. Show me a better one. Show me a better one.
I can show you.
You can't. You can't find a better
one. I give you what Troy said.
I got it.
I give you that. That's what he said.
That's now, but that was then.
No. We updated. That's what we're talking about now.
Okay.
We ain't talking about then.
Yep.
He got rewarded for that. He won Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. But right now, and that's what I've been telling you, Skip Bayless, it's hard for me to believe there is another team in the NFL that would say, "You know what? I don't want the Cowboys' offensive line, and I don't want Zeke Elliott as my running back." It's hard. Maybe the Rams. Because they got Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
That would probably be it that says, I don't want this offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott. Mm-hmm. So that's what Dak is working with. Mm-hmm. And I keep telling you, you keep blaming everybody mm-hmm. else, but he's not the guy yet. Mm-hmm. And we, like I said.
Oh, we keep hearing yet.
He, right? Skip, maybe.
Cover your base.
Maybe 2016 mm-hmm. is as good as he's ever going to get.
Maybe.
And that was a shining moment. Oh, it's okay, Skip. Mm. It's okay. You've been wrong before. It's okay mm-hmm. if it doesn't pan out.
I have not been wrong.
Oh, yeah. You never.
I've never been wrong. Never.
Hey. Troy, I don't even want to say no more because Troy already validated me. Mm-hmm. Troy is a member of the Gold Jacket Club, and anybody the Gold Jacket, we know what we're talking about.
So all he said was that Dak needs to be more accurate with the football. So does that mean Troy said Dak was a bust? Is that what you're...
Ain't nobody said he was a bust. Oh. You keep saying that. You must think that.
I agree 100% with what I heard from Troy Aikman. And when I listen to the receivers, I tend to side with them because... As a receiver, you go into that film room on Monday and you watch it with your quarterback. Mm-hmm. And there would not be these comments if what you watched on film wasn't real, didn't show up.
Because somebody can pull that tape.
Because somebody can always, there's always that eye in the sky. We hear that all the time. We've heard that our entire career. Mm-hmm. There's the eye in the sky. The film don't lie. And so when I hear these guys saying this, this is a frustration that they are now having because the lack of production that they feel like they're not getting from their own quarterback. Mm-hmm. Because everybody thought, including myself, it was going to be this group of receivers not making plays. Now, I'm not throwing them a bone and giving them a free pass because when I see them in action and they do and they don't create the separation, they don't make the plays all the time. And if you're not making contested catches in this league, it's a bottom line league. You can't play. Because every time you throw the ball as a quarterback, you're not going to have a wide open wide receiver like the
college. This ain't college.
No, you're not going to have 5-6 yards every single time. Mm-hmm. So you have to make contested throws and contested catches. But when I look at what Troy Aikman is saying, the leadership, A+. He's absolutely has it. Toughness, of course. We've seen it. We've seen him, his escapability, his ability to extend plays. He has all these great attributes, but then he lacks the number one attribute.
The most important.
This is Troy Aikman saying this.
That's what Troy say. Accuracy. And you know Troy was accurate, Skip. You watch.
Accuracy. When we look at Patrick Mahomes, when we look at Jared Goff, when we look at Carson Wentz, when we look at these... They have that accuracy. Mm. Skip, they have that. They possess these things.
Who are you ripping
and
your
that
heart
is
out.
The most important thing as a receiver.
Everybody hurts.
Look, Dak is watching the same film that we watching, and he probably frustrated saying, can y'all give me a little bit more separation? But Aaron Rodgers, when guys make – Jarvis Landry, one of the guys that plays with a young quarterback, Baker Mayfield, he doesn't create a ton of separation.
No.
But one thing he does do consistently – contested catches.
He will fight for
that ball. He will fight for that ball.
He will.
He's not the Larry Fitzgerald big guy that we automatically assume is going to be able to do those things. Mm-hmm. These guys, when given a chance, I think that they can make plays. They're in this league for a reason. Mm-hmm. But if the guy throwing the ball can't get it to me, can't put it where I need it.
So, Shannon Sharp.
What now?
What I always say about quarterbacks is exactly what Troy said when he's asked about can a quarterback play. Number one attribute has to be accuracy. I say it every year before the draft. What did I tell you about Baker Mayfield? Deadly accurate.
Okay. Yes.
That's why you missed on Baker Mayfield. It's why I was right on Baker Mayfield. He is deadly accurate in pro football just as he was in college football.
We're two games in, but okay, go ahead.
So now let's address these receivers. Allen Hurns, undrafted out of Miami. Undrafted. So 7 rounds of the draft transpired and nobody wanted Allen Hurns. Cole Beasley, undrafted out of SMU. 7 rounds of the draft and nobody wanted little measly Beasley.
You like Beasley
and,
now.
And Deontay Thompson, undrafted out of Florida. So 7 rounds of the draft took place and nobody wanted Deontay Thompson. So these are the top 3 wide receivers that Dak Prescott is throwing to right here, right now. Mm-hmm. And to defend Dak, on one score, you realize that QBR takes into account your deadly accuracy or lack thereof. You realize that's a number one, your percentage of completions in QBR. Mm-hmm. So Dak Prescott led the National Football League as a rookie until the last week of the season, at which point he fell to third because they just mailed it in at Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Last year, he plummeted all the way, as my man across from me gave him an F for the season. He plummeted to fourth in QBR. So he was top five in QBR his first two seasons in the National Football League because he was accurate for 2 years. That's 16 games plus 16 games. Through which he had 9 games of 3 touchdown passes or more. That's pretty great. And 3 times he went head-to-head with your man Aaron Rodgers, and he outplayed him every time. Go look at the QBRs for those 3 games and add them up. And again, Dallas lost twice, but that wasn't Dak's fault. You can't blame any of that on Dak.
Well, why are you giving him all the credit?
Well, I'm just saying. Let's just keep this in some perspective. Okay. So this year got off to a very rocky start because I thought one of those receivers would step up and separate from the others, literally and figuratively, and would become the go-to guy on 3rd and 7. And it hasn't happened yet. Dak now has 5 touchdown passes to 4 interceptions. But guess what happened on all 4 of the interceptions? They hit the receiver in the hands, and they popped up and went back. And Earl Thomas was the beneficiary of 2 that he won when he picked off his shoestrings. But then what happened Sunday? Mm-hmm. 2 of them just bounced off receivers' hands. Tavon's hand goes right to – they're just bad bounce, bad break interceptions. Dak has to say, that shouldn't have been intercepted. It wasn't like he didn't see a guy and he threw it right to the corner.
If he was more accurate, he wouldn't have that problem.
Hit him right in the hands. No, I can show you. We could go back to all
Tavon 4. Austin.
Tavon, you got to catch that ball. Greg, did it not hit him in the hands? That's a drop.
No.
That is a drop. No. I'm sorry. It just hits him in the hands. What do you mean no?
No.
Unless Tavon, who's considered an 8th pick in the draft, bust by most people, including the Los Angeles Rams. Am I right about that?
Well, yeah, he's a gadget player.
He's a gadget guy.
Okay.
I tried to tell you that.
So it's a deep post. He's got single coverage, and the ball hits him in the hands. You just have to go up and snatch it unless you're 5'7" tall. And
okay,
you do that when you got it. Okay, I'm just saying, am I worried about Dak's confidence right now? I am, because when he drops back to pass, there's too much double clutch and there's too much what Troy said. If you see it pre-snap, you just got to read it and throw it. And what am I yelling at my TV screen every single Cowboy game, especially the last 2? For Dak on 3rd down, I say, just see it, feel it, and cut loose with it like you mean it. Don't stand back there like this.
Well, maybe he doesn't see it.
Okay, maybe he doesn't see it. I don't know what he sees because I don't break down coaches' tape, but he's not seeing what he saw as a rookie and a second-year player. It's not there. And obviously, Dez Bryant killed him last year by leading the league in drops. So he doesn't, and he tried to force the ball to 88, forced it because he got single coverage so much last year. But when in doubt, who did he dump it to? He dumped it to the 82, Jason Witten, who shocked them by saying, I got a booth opportunity here. I'm going to the booth.
Deuces.
Right?
Yep.
Deuces. And he's gone. And now it's Jeff Swaim and Blake Jarwin. Do you think Dak trusts those two?
Hey, he got to trust them. Okay. Because the receivers are saying, guess what? We catch a lot more balls if you were accurate.
Yeah.
Skip, this is what I believe you're missing, though. This is why it's more on Dak Prescott this year. Because their running game is not as effective. So that play action that was always allowing those linebackers to get sucked in.
Okay, whose fault is that?
What I'm saying is that play action that allows those linebackers to get sucked in, now they're not getting sucked in.
I agree. I'm going
to
say it again.
And now you have to be more accurate.
Zeke carried it 20 times on Sunday night at Houston, 20 times, mm-hmm. and 10 times he went for 0 or minus.
Now you make
you're losing the line of scrimmage.
You make Greg and I point.
Exactly.
Because now you need your quarterback because they're stopping your run.
And you're throwing. Is there any number 1 or number 2 receiver here?
No.
Is there a number 2?
Tom Brady made a living off doing that.
Tom Brady, did we ever say that Dak was Tom Brady? I didn't.
Drew Brees has made a living throwing the guys that's not.
Again, I'm not making Dak out to be the only blame here.
Because there's enough to go around.
There is definitely enough to go around. Because you are correct. They don't have a number 1 receiver and, quite frankly, a number 2 guy. They have guys that could get it done. But when I look at their arsenal, it's weak. It's poor. It's not below average, quite frankly.
Greg, okay, what we're saying about the receivers, they're not 1s or 2s. What you think they're saying about their quarterback? We ain't got Brady over here. We ain't got Drew Brees. I'm telling you, because I've been in rooms.
Okay. What did Romeo Crennel say on Sunday night? I'm not afraid of him. So let's just send 5 or 6 or 7.
We'll
send run blitzes.
Yes.
We will win the line of scrimmage every time. Zeke's going nowhere fast.
I don't fear him. I don't fear him. Mm-hmm. And I don't fear your quarterback.
Okay. And Colin said it when they play. Look, we're going to make Dak beat us.
Okay, and what do I have? You pointed out earlier in the show, I have a rookie at left guard and I have a backup at center. That's no good. That's a big hole in the middle of that, all those golden tail offensive linemen, right? All those high-paid linemen. There's a big gap.
Oh, Troy, I need to give old Troy a call.
Skip
yeah.
up here a bunch of excuses.
Hey,
I'm not making excuses.
You keep going back to 2016. Mm-hmm. It's 2018 now. It's
been a while. I'm going back to 2017 when you gave him an F.
9-7.
Yeah. 9-7 was pretty great.
He got nine more interceptions and four fewer victories.
Greg, yeah. thank you.
How about that throw to Zeke that won
I'll
the Detroit game? Was that accurate? No mercy.
One of the stars of Fox's new comedy, The Cool Kids, David Alan Greer, joined Undisputed today. Here's a quick clip from the show.
Her name is Margaret. She's 65. She likes to party. She don't take no jive. Go, Margaret. 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 Go, Margaret.
What the hell is this?
Margaret, put the liquor down. We're taking you out to get drunk.
You guys, I am fine with my pee, booze, and Jay. And what the hell are you guys wearing? You look like extras in the Beat It video.
This is Versace.
You mean Versace?
No, I mean Versace. I couldn't afford the Achi.
That is all laughing. Now is a clip from the new Fox show, The Cool Kids. And we are joined by one of the stars, David Alan Greer. Mm. Welcome to
Welcome.
Undisputed.
Honored to have you.
Yeah, thank you.
We used to share a building in New York City, 54th and 8th.
Mm-hmm.
It was high rent.
High rent, yeah.
Fancy.
It was very fancy. You remember Skip Doorman.
Yeah, Doorman.
You know, they wouldn't let me in, and I lived there.
But it wasn't Shea Sharp up in Bel Air, though.
It was not. I can't even get into Bel Air. They said, are you a guest of Mr. Oh, you see?
They won't let me in.
Which sharp are you?
Tell us about the new show on Fox.
Well, the reason why I wanted to come on here is specifically Skip, you know, because this show, out of all the shows in my career, Skip, this is tailored for you.
Mm.
This is for Skip Bayless. It's about crusty dusties, you know, old, very old, moldy people. And I said, Skip will like this.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Living in
that.
A senior living facility. And you say you and your beloved, where? Mm. Shady Meadow?
No, we're right here in Century City.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, then. All right.
Close enough.
Okay, but you're not living with the young people like Shannon. Right?
No. See, he dresses a lot older than me.
Man, he's sharp. Yeah. No, basically, that's what it is. A bunch of senior citizens living in a senior community. And really, the message of the show is old people do everything young people do, just slower. More methodically.
Mm.
They don't get caught either. Nobody's trying to sneak up on grandma. You know? check her DMs and her texts. Mm. But having a lot of fun, man.
So great you play character. A character sort of like Shannon plays here on the show. He plays Unk, right?
Unk!
Yeah. Yeah.
But my Unk isn't as cool as Shannon.
Yeah.
My Unk's regular Unk. He's Hall of Fame Unk.
Yeah. So you do live here in Los Angeles
now,
obviously.
Sir.
And all of a sudden, you have a neighbor named LeBron James. How do you feel about him being a Laker?
I think he's fabulous. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have any. I mean, I love Kobe, but I love LeBron now. I think he's good. It's got to be better. Have you seen the Lakers in the last 12 years? Come on, this is beautiful.
But I thought you were saying it's got to be better than Kobe. No?
No, there's no comparison. Okay. Kobe did his thing. He retired.
Mm. Thank you.
Did they ever play against each other? Maybe once in a
little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's not. I don't see what the friction is.
Mm.
LeBron has his legacy, his career. Kobe has his. They're different types of players, okay? Physically, everything. So I don't, no, we got room for LeBron. We got room for you too.
Room for LeBron.
See?
We talk about LeBron and his greatness on the court, but let's talk about his greatness off the court. And you yourself and your father were very active in the community. You read where your dad marched with Dr. King when he came to Detroit.
I did too. Well, my father, Dr. William H. Greer, he co-wrote Black Rage, which was a seminal book in 1968.
About what exactly?
I think the Black Rage defense has been used more, but I think it deals mostly with the residual pain and legacy of slavery and as it affected African Americans in the 60s and still today, you know, and how we move past it. and what we as a community are dealing with. So that's, but actually people don't really know this. You know, I said his book is used as a black rage defense, and he really was not for that or not about that, but it was more enlightenment and teaching and learning, so yeah.
So you met Dr. King or you just?
No, I met him like a mile away. Mm-hmm. It was like, mm-hmm. you know, I was a little kid, and frankly, you know, our parents said, this is what we're doing. And we as a family marched. No, I never met a Dr. King, but I'm proud to say that I marched with him. And you know, that's the kind of household I grew up mm-hmm. in, being socially aware. Mm. You know.
So where are we with the whole Colin Kaepernick development? What have
well,
you seen?
Where we are is Colin Kaepernick has not been hired by an NFL team. And at this point, I ask myself, would that be viewed as a cynical act? I mean, you know, he's in the midst of this lawsuit, as after all this time, and I've asked, you know, okay, what if at the last minute, you know, some team says, okay, fine, well, we'll hire you now. I don't know how I would feel about that. I mean, it's a little down the road, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems to me that they will have to probably make some kind of deal with him legally unless he totally loses a case. I mean, I think he's been magnificent in his social awareness, and I hope he continues on. Clearly, he's influenced a generation. I mean, you guys talk about it almost every day this season and last season. So
real impact, you feel? Ongoing impact?
So far, I mean, I can't look into the future. I can't say in 20 or 30 years, people will look back and talk about this like they talk about some of the things that Jim Brown did or the athletes at the 1968 Olympics, mm-hmm. Muhammad Ali. These are all different cases. But I feel, if you're going to ask my hunch, I think they're going to be talking about this for a long time because on all levels of society, it has made an impact.
Okay, you remember you said your dad marched with Dr. King in 68 when he came to Detroit.
Actually, it was 63.
Wow.
Yeah, because it was right before the March on Washington.
Because the riots happened in 68, correct?
67. But interestingly enough, Dr. King did a version of the I Have a Dream speech in Detroit.
Really?
That rally before Washington.
He actually did it.
Yeah, yeah.
We as a country, mm-hmm. where are we now in terms of race relationships? You remember, you grew up in the 60s, so the heart of Jim Crow and the segregation before we started getting civil rights, voting rights, Fair Housing Rights Act were passed. Where are we now as a country? Are we progressing as much as you thought we would?
No. You know, as a little kid, I thought this would be over. I didn't think that at 62, I'd still be talking about, you're asking me the same stuff people ask me in 83. Mm-hmm.
93, 73. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so as an African-American man and an American, I'm weary. I'm weary having to answer these questions. So that tells you where we're at. We're not far enough.
Right.
I am weary on Twitter, in the news media, where I read day after day racist acts, you know, against people of color, immigrant population, women. No, I don't want that.
But what do you say to those that said, but you had a two-term black president. You have all this wealth that blacks have been able to gain over the course of the years. Mm-hmm. What do you say to those that say, but we did elect a black president?
Mm-hmm. Two steps forward, now two steps back. Because I feel like since Obama left office, and it seems like one of the main things Trump has been his agenda to erase each and everything President Obama accomplished during his two terms in office. That's what I feel, you know. So two steps forward, one step back. I mean, yeah, we did elect a president of color. Now what are we going to do, you know? Now what are we going to do?
That's not enough.
No, it's not enough. It's day to day. What do you think, man? Come on, I follow you on Twitter. Oh, you holding your tongue now?
No, okay.
You know,
I'm a firm believer. I grew up in rural South Georgia, so I know what it's like to be discriminated against.
Right.
A lot of times people look at you and they look at I and say, okay, you're successful, that's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not good enough because I look at the people that doesn't have, that's not in Shannon Sharpe's position. Right. And that's what breaks my heart because I know we can do so much better. We will help other countries, but we won't help our own as quick as we will aid someone else. I'm a firm believer. I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to take care of my home. I'm going to take care of Skin. I'm going to take care of Ken. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that. I'm going to ride with that. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times people got upset with President Obama because they see what President Trump is doing. President Trump is going to take care of his. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, President Obama, you had the opportunity. You didn't do nearly enough for the people that look like you, that talk like you.
But my response is, do you know, I wish we could talk turkey, but we can't. But every day, what he was dealing with.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course I understand that.
These people, I mean, it was the Republicans' agenda to stop, block,
Mitch McConnell
prevent each and everything he was trying to do, whether or not it was good for the country.
Yeah.
So, no.
Senator McConnell said, my job is to make him a one-term president.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, he failed.
Yeah, okay. Miserably.
Yeah, that's right. So, but I'm still here. I mean, that's the negative part. The positive part is I still have hope. I still have belief. Mm-hmm. I'm still working for a change.
Right.
And that's what I have to do. Mm-hmm. I have my daughter's 10 years old, mm-hmm. okay? I can't look at her and say, well, good luck.
Yeah.
You know, we did all we could.
Right.
No, I have to. I have to believe in a future or else I can't be a parent, you know?
So. Good way to look at it. Man, thank you for being
go.
Here.
Scam!
Way to go. You did it. You survived.
Hey, shut up.
Get that living color
that
next
was awesome.
Time.
Yes,
all
sir,
right.
Man. I want to cool come to your kid. Closet, man. Let me borrow a suit.
What you need?
I need something like a three-piece or something, and one of your nice joints.
Like an old man sweater.
Yeah, one of them grandpa sweaters.
We'll be watching your new show,
Thank
The Cool
you.
Kids, on Friday on Fox. Thank you again for being here.
No mercy.
Lonzo Ball was a full participant at practice yesterday for the first time since knee surgery, even though Luke Walton has announced Rondo as the starter. LeBron shared some words of encouragement for his young point guard. LeBron posted an Instagram picture of the two at practice with the caption, quote, "It's about that time, young king. Let's get it. You was born for this moment. Hashtag king me. Hashtag Z02. Shannon,
wow.
Are you surprised LeBron called Lonzo young king?
No. Because LeBron is one of the few people that know what it's like to be up under the microscope, to be brought in to be a face of the franchise. Now, that's going to be put on hold because LeBron's there. LeBron is the new face mm-hmm. of the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron is a mentor to this team, and he understands. And I also think he's like, look, what we're hearing is that Rajon Rondo is going to start. So that means Lonzo, the number two pick in the draft, probably going to come off the bench. Mm-hmm. He's telling him, your time's going to come. Mm-hmm. You were born for this moment. Now, your time might not be this year, but there will come a time that you're going to be asked to be that guy. And you are a young king. And when he says king, you know, King LeBron, there's only been one king in the NBA, Skip Bayless. You know, there have been a lot of, you know.
I know, but when you are the king, you can king somebody else.
Yeah, crown him.
Yeah.
So basically he's saying, look, LeBron is the mentor. He's the old guy. LeBron to these guys is what the Kobe generation thought of Michael. This is what LeBron is to this generation. He's the Michael Jordan of this generation, mm-hmm. like Michael was to the generation before that. Mm-hmm. You know that.
I do.
Know that.
I do.
And so he's trying to, it's going to be okay. I understand this is mm-hmm. not how you diagrammed it, how you thought mm-hmm. being the number two overall pick in the draft and coming to your hometown team and being the face of that team. Mm-hmm. But your time will come. But I want LeBron to be very careful of throwing this term around because if you throw a term around too much, it loses its meaning. Mm-hmm. You can't keep saying young king and you say that to Ben Simmons.
Yeah,
you say that to Donovan Mitchell. You say that to all these guys. It's kind of like somebody has a great performance, Skip, and you hashtag GOAT. Mm. Pretty soon, GOAT doesn't mean the same thing as it once did because all you do is just throw that term out. So be mindful of that. Words have meaning, and if you want them to have the significance of what you're trying to impart on it, mm-hmm. on someone,
yep.
just be careful of throwing that term out too much. I get what he was trying to do. I get what he's saying. He's trying to tell Lonzo, hey, you're probably not going to start. That's what's being reported. Rondo's going to start, mm-hmm. but your time will come. You were born for this moment. You was born to be great. Mm. Greatness might be put on hold for a little while, but just wait your turn.
I didn't see that in that post. I didn't see that line.
Yeah, what?
Oh, you're reading between the lines.
I'm reading between the lines. Okay. There's always meaning. LeBron doesn't do it.
That's true.
If you read the Bible's in parables. It doesn't say exactly what's going to happen. You got to read between the lines, Skip. Mm. That's why a lot of people...
But the Bible wasn't passive-aggressive like
you
the know,
can you let me have my moment and explain to you? Yeah. That's why you have so many different meanings, because some people take it one way because they're reading between the lines, and some people take it another way because they're reading between the lines. Yep. So you got to kind of figure these things out. But I'm one of the foremost authorities, like Neil Tyson DeGraw, about space and all that other stuff. He's one of the foremost authorities.
He is.
When it comes to LeBron James, I'm one of the foremost authorities him.
You have extreme objectivity when it comes to LeBron James.
I do, yeah.
So let's put this in perspective, Ms. Taft.
Okay.
My man, LaShannon Sharp, has called Lonzo Ball a bust. But what? LeBron James has just crowned him a young king.
Skip, that's not what I said.
I said
he's not transcendent you.
Huh. So it's interesting that your man, LeBron, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
That's a postful, man. That's going a long ways. I know he used it on Simmons. Did he use it on Donovan?
But I'm just saying you have to be careful.
No, he used it on Ben Simmons.
And he calls him son. He calls his son.
Yeah.
Bronny, young king.
Okay, that's fine.
Bronny, yeah.
All right, I get that one. But again, Lonzo's not a client of LeBron's like Ben Simmons. So again, anytime LeBron speaks, I'm suspicious. Anytime he posts, I'm looking for the hidden agenda. I'm looking for what could be operating deeper here. Yes. So my first thought yesterday was not about patience. It was about, is he trying to motivate Lonzo? Because we know that, you know, maybe he's trying to light a fire that didn't often get lit the way it should have last year during Lonzo's rookie year. Or was he trying to get even with LeVar by heaping praise on Lonzo and setting him up for failure this year? I don't know. I'm thinking that's really deep and ugly, like a wicked thought.
Yeah.
But I can't see that.
No.
Was he trying to increase Lonzo's trade value in case they do need to move him? I don't know.
But I'm reading between the lines.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, I'm trying to see what's happening here. But in the end, I walked away from this thinking, I believe that LeBron has that much respect for Lonzo's game.
Okay.
Because I think respect's rare. Mm-hmm. And Lonzo is rare. No matter what you say about whether he's not transcendent, he has a gift you can't teach or coach that LeBron has. See it, feel it, pass it before it even happens.
Right.
Lonzo can do that. And again, if you look at across the board, Lonzo's contributions last year, he was the best defender on the Lakers last year. He led the team in steals. He led the team in rebounding for much of the year. Mm-hmm. He was second in block shots on the Lakers to the big guy. You know, like what more? The little big things, you couldn't ask for much more from Lonzo.
Right.
I'd like to see the fire get lit a little more often.
Yes.
And I do think LeBron will be great for Lonzo lighting his fire. I think Lonzo will feed off LeBron's greatness, just his, because their games are similar, except Lonzo can't attack the basket or hasn't shown that he could attack the basket the way LeBron can. But remember, Lonzo Ball is 6'7" tall, and it looked like he got in the gym. You can see it right there. He looks a lot better than he looked last year. He looks like he's got a little bit of authority that he can play with.
Well, his body grew. He need to let them shorts grow along with him.
Well, that's fine.
I mean, he ain't a small anymore. He need to go to medium.
All right. Well, that's fine, too. So the point is, and the problem with all this is, I think LeBron was just being honest about he's coming.
Oh, you finally think LeBron is telling the truth about something.
Yep. I believe he's telling the truth. But here is the problem with his truth. He has also raved about Rondo's basketball IQ and basically said it's equal to mine. We can see it the same way. And I agree with
that. Two things can be true.
Okay, I got you. But he's also raved about Brandon Ingram and his ceiling is high. His star power.
You don't even believe that that Lonzo has the potential that Brandon Ingram does.
Yeah, he does. In his way, he does. Their games are completely upside down different. But, yeah, I think he can be at least as good as Brandon Ingram. But the point is, what do the Lakers coaching staff and Magic Johnson love about Brandon Ingram? What are they most infatuated with? His ability to bring the ball up and initiate the offense as the point guard. And what have I told you all along, Miami, Cleveland, now Los Angeles, about LeBron James? I still say he's at his best when he is initiating the offense.
Right.
He still can be the best point guard in basketball because he's still the best passer in basketball.
Right.
Well, I just gave you the all-time logjam at point guard.
True.
I just gave you Lonzo and Rondo and Ingram and LeBron James.
Yep.
How are you going to do that? Because the last time I checked, unless Magic has gotten the rules changed, there's one basketball per game, right? Mm.
True.
How are you going to pull that off?
Right.
That's why I called it as difficult to coach a team as I can ever remember for Luke Walton. So who's going to get the minutes? And, you know, you did raise an interesting issue. Maybe he's trying to buy some patience in Lonzo because he's not going to get to play. Is that possible? He's just not going to get to play?
Well, he'll get to play, but I don't know if he'll get the minutes that he got last year to play.
Okay, if you're going to be the point guard of a basketball team, which is a leadership position, it's hard to be the backup. You know, you can't assert yourself and take the team over as the backup.
Well, he wasn't going to be able to take the team over anyway because, you know, 2-3 there.
Okay. All right, but again, if 2-3 says, I want to play off the ball, which I do not believe, but he said that.
Well, that was the thing that interested him that was being reported. Is that what intrigued him about Philly was being able to play off the ball. He says he's really never had the ability to play off the ball solely. Now, you know, Kyrie would do his thing, and he was off the ball.
D-Wade. They took turns.
Right. Yeah. Especially when LeBron, you know, he let Kyrie, he was rest, let Kyrie do his thing. He'd go give Kyrie the ball, go stand in the corner. Yep. Kyrie dance, get to the bucket, get a foul, or make a shot. So now he gets an opportunity because Brandon Ingram, we saw the other night, he exclusively handled the ball. Rondo, we know he can do it. Rondo's led the league, I think, in assists 3 or 4 times. So we know what he represents. He averaged 12 assists in the playoffs last year. So we know what Rajon, and he's battle-tested. LeBron loves veterans, and he loves battle-tested guys. So.
Well, that's not Lonzo.
No.
Okay.
No.
So what happens? Does Lonzo play 8 minutes a game?
No, he get a little more than that. We give him about 18.
We give him about 18 minutes? Well, then Rondo's not going to be a happy camper.
Rondo will get about 25.
25? How many minutes are there in the game?
But they're not going to Skip, I don't know how you play Rondo, LeBron, and Lonzo together. How you play them together?
I don't know.
Well, Rondo and Lonzo are all-time spot-up three-point shooters,
you
right?
Almost spot-up nothing.
Yeah. Well, I'm serious. Like,
no.
Really? You're going to go from what you had in Cleveland to those two guys shooting threes?
You got two 30-point three-point shooters. And then
30%.
Yeah, 30% three-point shooters in Rondo and Lonzo, and then free throw. I mean, what? Come on.
Come on.
That's a lot of personality.
Bron is very, very calculated. And his praise. And he doesn't do anything without a reason.
You know, you might not. Funny, I haven't heard him praise Kuzma at all.
He did.
Is there some addition by subtraction?
There you go. See,
I don't know.
Why you do that?
Well,
why are you always trying to be a conspiracy theorist?
That's a valid question to ask. Why not bless Kuzma?
Oh, maybe that's coming next.
Huh? So whom else did he leave out? JaVale? Lance?
He's not going to bless.
Okay, what about Josh Hart?
He's just a guy.
Caldwell Pope.
Just a guy.
I mean, at some point in time, Skip, we can't praise. It loses its meaning if you praise everybody. Everybody's not great.
I'm wondering if he doesn't have that much respect for Kuzma's game.
See, there you go.
Just wondering.
There you go. See? See, that's the softening of America. Ooh, little Johnny, you did well. Johnny ain't do nothing. All he did was come to class. So he's not getting an award for just coming to class. He's supposed to be here. Get no good grades. You want everybody to get a star and a cookie for just showing up.
So you're saying you don't respect Kuzma's game either?
There you go. I'm just saying, if I'm a teacher, which I am today,
you
come to my, I don't give you good a grade for perfect attendance. You better do some work, and it better be good work.
So Lonzo's got to earn some respect here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Kuzma.
He did well. He was first team all rookie last year.
He was.
But this we update resumes in sports. What the last year got to do with this year? Right now, we try to win right now.
He'd be a tough teacher.
Oh, yeah. Ain't no grade on no curve.
Lonzo Ball, young king. I like it.
You
way
make
to
a
go.
66, you get 66. Okay. You don't round up to 70. I don't do no rounding.
So Lonzo didn't earn young king? Because I think he earned it.
Skip.
You got pushed into a corner on this one.
No.
The guy you don't like got blessed by your guy. Right? He got kinged.
No. There's only one king. One king. One king at a time, Skip. How many kings are there in England? There's one. One!
Well, he can be a duke or an earl.
Oh, okay. Now we're going into history. All right.
No mercy.
was Joe Davis with the call. He's doing so well with the Dodgers and with us. And the Dodgers advanced to the NLCS with a win in Atlanta yesterday. Now, they will head to Milwaukee to face the Brewers, game one, Friday night, right here on FS1. I can't wait for that. Now, let's talk about the UFC, because what we saw last weekend, Saturday's fight ended with Conor McGregor suffering his fourth career loss, followed by a brawl when Habib jumped out of the cage, went after one of Conor's trainers. Conor tweeted after the fight saying, quote, looking forward to the rematch. Dana White also confirmed yesterday that Conor reached out to him wanting a rematch, but Dana said they would have to wait and see if there are any repercussions in store for Habib. Shannon, would you want to see a rematch?
Yeah, I want to see another rematch, watch Khabib beat him down again. Mm. Yeah, that's what I want to see. Yeah, mm. Absolutely. Mm. Skip, but here's the thing. Now, Nevada Athletic Commission is going to have a say in this, because you remember when Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield, they took 10% of his purse and they suspended him. Now, there's a good chance they're going to take 10% of his purse, Khabib's purse, and they might suspend him. But for me, Dana White and Conor McGregor needs to be very careful that they don't run into a situation like Ronda Rousey, because he's their cash cow. But he can't keep losing. And this guy hangs another L on him, which I believe he wills, because I believe he would, because this is not a good matchup for Conor. This guy is technically and fundamentally sound as a wrestler.
He is.
He's good as it gets, Skip. And the thing is, it's kind of like bees to a honey. Now, the bees know he wants that, the bear knows he wants that honey. Now, there's a possibility he's going to get stung, but his desire to get it outweighs him getting stung. Mm. Khabib knows he has to get close in order to take Conor down.
Yep.
So he's willing to take a shot or two to get close enough to take him down. Now, once he gets him down, he has a decided advantage. Conor's going to have to work on his game of how to get up off that mat, because he can't let this guy lay on him. This is the first time, I believe, other than Nate Diaz, that Conor McGregor walked into the ring and this man was bigger than he was. Mm-hmm. He was bigger than Aldo. He was bigger than Alvarez. He's bigger than the other guys that
he was. Fought. He's longer than those other guys.
Yes.
This guy's bigger
this
than
This guy
him.
Was bigger. You could tell, Skip.
He's stouter. He's thicker. He's stronger.
Yes. And so you need to be careful of putting him back in there.
Yep.
How does Conor expand his game? See, Jon Jones is a wrestler who I believe is the best UFC fighter of all time.
Yep,
He can strike, he can submit, he can do so many other things, but he's broadened his base. I don't know how much Conor has broadened his base from just striking. That's a problem.
Yep.
Because how much did Ronda Rousey expand her base other than getting somebody to the mat and being able to armbar him? Mm-hmm. But when they stood up, Amanda Nunes, poop, 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 Holly Holm, poop, 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 it's over. She lost two fights, Skip, and she was never the same. Mm-hmm. Okay, he got submitted. Now, he did a good thing. He fought Nate Diaz. Nate beat him. He came back and beat him. Lose to this guy, get another submission, lose to this guy again. It's not going to look good, Skip. A lot is going to go into this. If he's suspended, how long will Khabib be suspended? But, yes, I'll watch this again. And guess what? I expect the same thing to happen again. That dude's a different animal. And everybody, he hadn't fought anybody. All he wants to do is lay around. Okay. You're right, he hadn't fought anybody. And you know what he's telling you? I still haven't fought anybody, because I ran through him like foreign water through a tourist. Through it.
Yep, you are right. So, first issue at hand is the Nevada Athletic Commission also filed a complaint against Conor.
Yep.
Because it said it has video that Conor struck one of Habib's teammates in the octagon after it was over. And I didn't see that watching the broadcast the other night, the telecast. I just saw some dude leap into the octagon and start pummeling Conor, like blindside him. And they said that guy was just a fan. And that's what they said.
Conor should have whipped him then.
Well, Conor was just like dazed and confused. Like, what is happening? I know he was tired. You're right. But they say they have identified the fan and that they are going to prosecute the fan. They're just not sure how to do it, what exactly charge they can levy against him. But anyway,
put it back in the octagon with Conor.
Well, that would work. But again, I don't know if both these guys are going to get suspended and or fined.
Right.
So I don't know if all this could get put on hold. And I don't know what Dana White ultimately would decide about Tony Ferguson, who has earned the shot at Habib. He's next in line. And if you go pecking order, he deserves the next shot.
I would like to see McGregor fight Tony Ferguson, because both of those guys are mainly stand up and it's going to be fist to cup.
I told you last week. Conor McGregor needs at least one tune-up fight before he goes up against this cold-blooded killer after he insulted his religion and his country and his father?
Yes.
Really? Yeah. Well, I think you need to get ready for this, right? And he was not quite ready. And to your point, I'm not sure he can get ready.
Yeah.
But I will give him this. Remember what happened in the first Nate Diaz fight?
Yes.
Nate Diaz was about the fourth replacement. Remember, there was all kinds of confusion because mm-hmm. there was an injury to the opponent that was first supposed to fight him. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, Conor says, yeah, I'll take Nate Diaz, who was much bigger.
At 170. They fought at 170.
Yeah, I know. At 170. It looked like he weighed 20 more pounds. So what happened in the second round of that fight?
Right.
Nate got him on the ground and just sumoed him. You know, he's just too big for him. And he made him tap.
Yep.
Right? And what did Conor do? He went right to Dana White and said, give me him again.
Right.
And remember, Dana told us. I said, Conor, you're going to take years off your life. You're not ready for him. You need to heal up from what just happened. Nope, I want him now. And within 5 months, he got him again.
Right.
This is back in August of 2016. And what happened? Conor was smart enough
to say,
I'm going to stand up.
Yeah.
And they traded a whole bunch of punches in that fight because that was the one Ernestine and I set, you know, octagon side for. We were in the splatter zone. Ernestine has never recovered from that because there was some blood flying that night.
And it
was on us.
And the thing is, Skip, MMA is like football. Mm-hmm. You only got so many hits in you. In the UFC, you only got so many kicks, so many strikes upside your head to your body before it's over.
Yep.
Now, you have to give these guys like a John Jones, he's never lost. Mm-hmm. He's been disqualified to be able to fight as long as they have and to be unblemished, to be unscathed.
Okay. All right.
Because all it takes, like I said, a glancing blow. Mm-hmm. When dude hit Conor in the first round with that right, that one hit a quitter, he had Conor's undivided attention.
He did.
Conor's like, okay, this dude's for real.
Okay.
I need to be on my best behavior. But it's too late, Skip. Mm-hmm. You can't say once I get in the ring, I'm going to be on my best behavior because Conor underestimated this dude because he thought like everybody else. Who has he fought? Who is he? All he wanted to do is lay around. He ain't going to do anything. He just wants to wrestle.
Okay. Okay, so Conor did get even with Nate Diaz, so you got to give him that.
Yes.
But then a lot of things happened. He fought for $100 million, and he got that money.
Yeah.
And then he took a lot of days off to party and play and travel, and I don't know if he really has the stomach for what he's going to have to endure if he's going to go right back in and take on this guy again. So what caught my eye? What can I not get out of my head about what I watched on Saturday night? In the third round of that fight, Khabib said, you know what? The pride got to him. He said, I'm going to beat you at your own game.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand right here in the middle of this, and we're going to trade shots, and I'm going to trade with you.
Yeah.
And I thought, uh-oh, Conor will get him. And I do think Conor won that round, but you're talking about the bees and the honey and getting stung.
Yeah.
I don't think Conor stung him one time. Seriously. They traded and they landed. Both
you don't
of
think
them landed.
Conor hurt him.
I don't think he ever hurt him. He didn't wobble him. Mm-hmm. I didn't see him flinch. And Conor hit him two or three. I thought Conor was a knockout artist.
Yes.
That was my one shot that I gave him against Floyd. If he can just catch him one time,
early.
He's got a chance.
If you look at most of Conor's knockouts happen in the first two rounds, and then he starts to lose steam. But Skip, the brawl, if you think about it, this was planned. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about when Khabib jumped out of the ring, that's when his corner men came into the ring because he knew security was going to be trying to get him out of the So guess what? Now all you got is the Nevada Athletic Commission. You got referees in there. Ain't nobody in there to protect Conor because Conor crew's still outside.
Mm-hmm.
So now, boo-boo, they dropped them beads on him like Conor brought all his boys, his entourage to the bus throwing the dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But Khabib told you what he was going to do. He said he going to smash him. He going to punish him.
Yep, he did. Boy, he got him down the second round. I don't know how Conor survived the second round.
Did you see how quick, when he made that move to shoot Conor and get them legs, he got them legs, and then he locked his legs.
Grabbed him. He just...
And just start...
Locked him up. It's too strong.
Think about this, Skip. You've been to the airport. Jenny, you go through the airport every single week.
Yeah.
Your bag gets heavy. You set it down. Change arms. Okay. Think about this. You set your bag down and somebody elbowing you in your head. Somebody swinging on your head. Because that's why Conor was tired. Dude's on top of him, and he's elbowing him. He's grounding and pounding him. Let that sink in. Everybody's carried bags, grocery. You're like, man, my little old light bag. The bag ain't 150-something pounds.
Yep.
That man's 100. He probably walked into the ring that night, probably 170, easy. once he filled back up. Once he rehydrated, he easily won 70.
I think Connor gave him his best shot in the third round, and it didn't matter. So if that won't work and you want a rematch, you're in big trouble.
I'm gonna fight. I ain't messing with dude yet. I got to get my confidence back. I'm a little shaken right now. You know, he did something to me. I thank Tony Ferguson and Connor because both of these guys stand up and both of these guys are, you know, going to trade punches because that fight, that three fight series, Skip, the Black Beast, Derek Lewis, Tony Ferguson and Pettis, and that. Yeah. Skip, that might have been as good as we've seen in the UFC.
I agree.
Oh, man. That was a good, man. See, $64.95, I don't even feel bad for paying that kind of money. Because you know my money, Skip. You know, money jump funny. I be trying to save him. I'm saving for a rainy day. Yep, saving for something big. Big. Saw this house up in the Hollywood Hills.
I know
you
that
and I
house.
Was talking about it.
I know that house. You going to get it?
I can't get that one.
Huh? I think it's only like $10.7
million. Yeah.
That's perfect. Like pocket change.
Right in the budget.
You know what? I was thinking about making an offer until he said 10. He said 10. If he just said like 5, I'm like, okay, I can do something here. But that's too far away from me.
Yeah,
I don't need all that.
The hills?
Yeah, I don't need all that. That's too much house, Skip.
It's the view.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, hey, you see how I'm looking? You look like, ooh, look at that view. That's how I'm looking at the money leaving my bank account. Ooh, geez.
Sounds like a nice life.
But that house, the house is unbelievable, Jay.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't wait to see what you guys were up to. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We will see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.